All right, welcome in to Mo and McGee on Fantasy. It's been a while, Logan.
It has been a while, Kevin, but, you know, life doesn't stop. We got a couple big changes here on Mo and McGee. Kevin had his precious little baby, keeping him up all hours of the night. Kevin, how's it going over there?
And not too bad. I wouldn't trade it for anything. It's been really special. I contemplated trying to convince Emily to name we named her Elizabeth, but contemplated trying to convince her to name her Jonathan Taylor McGee to see if I could steal a couple token draft picks.
You gotta let me pick him.
I mean, my daughter's named after him. But, you know, if you could guarantee me a 12-year Jonathan Taylor career, I probably would have done it. But RB careers are just too short.
That's true. And I myself got a new job, so went going through interview processes. But we always come back, Kevin. We've been waiting to do this episode for a while. We have a lot of players we're talking about. I mean, almost 40 different players. We're talking QBs. We're talking a bunch of wide receivers switching teams. And then we'll get to a little draft talk as well. Kevin, is there anywhere particular you want to start?
Yeah, I want to start right with the big offseason news. Carolina Panthers not getting Deshaun Watson, going to the Browns. I'm curious to hear your thoughts on that move.
Well, I mean, there's a big elephant in the room. Is he going to play at all? If he does, there's a lot of interesting pieces. I mean, Kevin Stefanski coached Kirk Cousins the best out of anybody. And, you know, made Baker Mayfield somewhat fantasy relevant in 2020. You know, you give him Deshaun Watson, who I don't think anybody can debate as top five QB talent, have some nice pieces around, brought in Joku back, Amari Cooper. If he's healthy, well, he's healthy, but if he plays and he's not getting jerked around here, there, or anywhere, I mean, he's slam dunk top five QB with the Browns, good defense, and Stefanski's going to utilize him.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really interesting. You mentioned Stefanski. You think of his offenses. It's quarterback under center, you know, run, blast left, blast right, dive up the middle. It'll be interesting to see how Deshaun Watson melds into that. But they bring in a big target with Amari Cooper, bring back all those other receiving options, like five tight ends, typical Browns fashion. Well, I think it'll be interesting. Definitely something that I'll keep an eye on come preseason to see what that offense looks like.
Yeah, and, you know, one thing that I think has kind of been swirling around is, so Jarvis Landry, still a free agent. There's a lot of buzz that Deshaun Watson was going to bring a lot of talent to Cleveland, people wanting to play with him. We have not really seen that come to fruition at all. And Jarvis Landry's still out there. And the other, you know, side to this coin, Kevin, we didn't put it down, but, you know, where does Baker Mayfield go? Baker Mayfield is still a Cleveland Brown as of today. He's been on podcasts saying he feels disrespected, which, you know, big surprise. He's felt disrespected every day of his life. So where does he go? I mean, there's not many fits left. Carolina still is kind of interesting. They're probably going to draft someone at six, but could they use him as a bridge? You got to think that they're going to find a way to get him off the roster.
Yeah. The two quarterbacks we're not going to talk about as much, Baker Mayfield and Jimmy GQ, not finding those spots yet. Seattle's also in the market there. Steelers, we'll see if they roll with Trubisky or not. It looks like they probably will, but not many spots. So I think you're right. Panthers, Seahawks, we'll see what happens.
Well, speaking of the Seahawks, Kevin, let's, you know, Russ Dickulis out in Denver now. I think the most disappointing part of this trade for me is that Noah Fant gets traded to Seattle. He would have been a perfect fit with Russ, who loves the tight end. It looks like we got Albert O is right now the projected starting tight end. A lot of receiving weapons for Russ. One interesting thing I want to kind of get your opinion on. We saw Russell Wilson support two really nice fantasy receivers. Now, Tyler Lockett was kind of missing in action half the games, blow up other games. What are we going to see with Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy with Russell Wilson coming to Denver?
Yeah, I think you have to expect big boosts out of both of them. When you look at what Russell Wilson did in Seattle, Pete Carroll didn't ask him to chuck the ball very much. They were consistently in the bottom third in the NFL in terms of pass percent. Broncos bring in Nathaniel Hackett. You expect maybe a little bit more of a Green Bay style offense where they might trust the quarterback to push a little bit. I think if I'm looking at over-unders, I'm going to take overs probably pretty much across the board on the Broncos. I like Sutton. I love Jerry Jeudy till I die.
And then you're a big Javonte guy too.
And then I'm a big Javonte fan too. And one of the best things about, or one of the top things I look for in a top tier running back is how good the offense is going to be. And as long as the line is okay, that's going to be a really good offense. And I'm all over Javonte as well.
One thing that worries me a little bit, Kevin, is that Broncos defense is going to be good. They switching coaches, Ed Donatale, who was their defensive coordinator, now at the Vikings. Their defense has the potential to be very good, top 10. Does that limit the ceiling a little bit? Who am I? I don't pay attention to defenses, Kevin. This is fantasy football. But it's something that kind of, we saw those Seahawks teams that Russell Wilson was really good with. They've been built heavily on defense. Does that limit possessions and things? When I'm looking at, who do I want in the top three rounds? Do I take Jerry Jeudy, who I think is fighting for targets? Cortland Sutton could potentially be on an offense that gets less possessions. Or do you take a guy like, I don't know, T. Higgins, who is on a Bengals team that's probably going to have more possessions. He's fighting with Jamar Chase, but we saw he could share pretty easily with him. Interesting stuff, for sure.
Yeah. And one point I think on the defense side is that, at least if you look in the division, they play the Chiefs twice a year. They play the Chargers twice a year. Raiders shouldn't be that bad. They should be in some at least competitive games, which might limit the take the air out of the ball type situation. And I have to believe that Russell's like, you have to let me cook if I'm going to go anywhere. I have a no trade clause. Let me cook.
That's true. I think a guy that's these next four guys. So we got Mitchell Trubisky, Carson Wentz, Matt Ryan, Marcus Mariota. None of them are going to be allowed to cook, I don't think, per se, because you shouldn't let them cook. Keep them away from the kitchen. All utensils, power tools. Steelers end up with Mitchell Trubisky. There's been absolutely zero surprise that the Steelers have been at every Kenny Pickett workout pro day. They've had him in. Malik Willis, they've been in heavy contact with, seen all his stuff. They're going to select a quarterback. Mitchell Trubisky gets 1 year. Do you feel comfortable drafting Diontae Johnson, who's been very good? What are your thoughts about Claypool, Najee Harris, Trubisky? You're not going to draft him unless you're in a deep two quarterback league. But what does his, arrival in Pittsburgh say about the rest of these guys? Because I got to be honest, I don't really want anyone outside of Najee.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to shy too far away from Diontae. I think he's a target monster, and they will try to keep it safe with Trubisky. They're not probably going to have him push the ball a lot, which I think that bodes well for Diontae versus Claypool. I think Claypool took a step back last season. I think partly because of quarterback play, but partly he just wasn't as good. So I'm probably not going to have my hands on Claypool, but I'm pretty optimistic on Deontay, I think.
Okay. You can have that opinion, Kevin. You're wrong, but I'm going to be staying away from Deontay Johnson. I think he just got force-fed the ball from Ben, and is Trubisky going to do that? We had no evidence of him doing that in Chicago. He did, you know, have a nice season there with Allen Robinson. Is he going to rely that heavily on Deontay Johnson? I don't think so. Apparently Kevin does, but he's also been like awake from 1 to 4 a.m. every day. So
very sleepy, very tired. Before we move past the Steelers, I want to know just really quick, Browns, Steelers, Bengals, Ravens. Do the Steelers finish last in this division?
They for sure have the worst quarterback. And, you know, I think that says a lot about where teams are going to finish. The Steelers are not going to be a train wreck. They just won't be. They have never been under Mike Tomlin. They're going to be 8-9, 9-8 probably. Is that enough to be not fourth? Who knows? I mean, if Deshaun Watson gets suspended for more than 6 games, the Browns are in some deep trouble because they're going to be starting. Exactly right. Maybe so Baker. It's that would be a disaster. But yeah, the Browns could be in trouble. But if Deshaun Watson plays 12 games, I think, you know, they're probably going to be favored in at least 10 of those. Just because the rest of the team is pretty dang good. A guy who's not pretty dang good, got traded for 2 third-round picks still, Carson Wentz. How many more years is he going to ride off that 2019 season, Kevin?
He's going to take it for all it's worth. And, you know, I want to like Carson Wentz. I really do. I think that 2019 season was special, but that back, I think, really screwed him up. I honestly think Taylor Heinicke is the better quarterback. I don't like the trade. I don't like this for Gibson. I don't like this for anybody on the Commanders.
Yeah, and one of my favorite guys of the last few years, Terry McLaurin. I got to feel sick for him because the Commanders were in a nice spot to make a serious upgrade at quarterback. You know, whether that be Russ, Deshaun Watson, I think they were in on all these people, and they end up with, you know, I hate to say this, Kevin, but I would have almost ended up with Mitchell Trubisky over Carson Wentz, just because Carson Wentz has been disastrous.
Yeah, and, I mean, at least with Trubisky, we've seen, I mean, there's the fallback that maybe it was just Chicago that messed him up. Maybe he looked okay in the Bills on the Bills
that
limited
evil
time.
Man, Matt Nagy.
Yeah,
the Nagy, evil guy.
That Matt Nagy. But Carson Wentz has looked bad 2 different places.
Yeah. So down on Terry McLaurin, Curtis Samuel, you know, was one of my favorite sleepers. I thought we were going to forget about him coming in. I think he's probably, you know, out. I love Cam Sims. With the Commanders, I thought with a quarterback upgrade, he could be a nice, like, you know, flexible flex play every other few weeks for me. But with Carson there, I just don't know how it's going to work. I'm not down on Antonio Gibson, but the JD McKissick coming back definitely hurts his value a lot too. So probably just down on the Commanders. But Kevin, tell you where I'm up. Up. Carson Wentz's old team, the Colts, you get a big upgrade in Matt Ryan. Like, this is, you know, Teddy Bridgewater, Russell Wilson, pretty dang big upgrade. Baker Mayfield to Deshaun Watson, pretty big upgrade. But Carson Wentz to Matt Ryan, I think is very significant for the Colts.
Yeah, I'm also a big fan of the move. I think he's not going to be asked to do nearly as much in Indianapolis as he was in Atlanta, but that's okay. What I want to know is this a big boost to Michael Pittman or the field? Do you like those tertiary receivers, your Paris Campbells, your I think T.Y. is back one more, Zach Pascal, or is it all Michael Pittman's going to get fed?
I think they are a prime team to be taking a wide receiver. You know, Chris Olave, I think, is going to be around when they draft. You know, that would be amazing fit. But yeah, I think Michael Pittman is firmly in my top 20 receivers entering the season. Potential for a huge breakout. I haven't done my rankings yet, Kevin. I mean, we haven't hit the draft yet, so we still got a long ways to go. But like I said, I'm super excited. You said it, Matt Ryan is not going to be asked to do a lot. He has the best running back in football behind him. He has an amazing O-line, a defense that is, you know, top 15 in the league. He just has to not be Carson Wentz, and this Colts team will be good. They'll be in the playoffs. And I think Matt Ryan, I'm not going to advocate for drafting him at all. But he raises the ceilings of most Colts players. I really like Jack Doyle and Mo Alie-Cox sticking around, forming that kind of two-headed tandem. We've seen both of them be pretty successful with Frank Reich.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a real nice sit and watch situation. Try to see who gets the big boost after Michael Pittman. But let's keep moving on. Matt Ryan's old team, the Atlanta Falcons, picks up Marcus Mariota, one of the most prized backup quarterbacks, gets another stab at being a starter. What do you think this means for Atlanta?
That was a fart noise, Kevin. I made it with my mouth because that's how bad the Falcons are going to be. I don't want to watch any Falcons games. I don't even want to know what's going on. I'll draft Kyle Pitts if he falls to me in the third round. This is going to be ugly. Cordarrelle Patterson was a star for them last year. He has not re-signed yet with them. By all indications, this is a tank season for the Falcons. I just don't think there's enough on offense for Marcus Mariota to be viable. I think there's not enough on the offense or defense for Kyle Pitts to be, you know, he's going to be good. He's going to be a target monster, but a lot of hollow stats there. And who's the wide receiver? You know, Russell Gage is gone. Is it Zacchaeus?
Tajay Sharp.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I don't want to watch a Falcons game after, you know, I think we should probably just be done talking about them until maybe see you guys in 2024, Falcons fans.
Well, yeah. And, you know, it was such big news that you missed it, but Cordarrelle was re-signed. That clearly speaks to how big of a deal it was in the fantasy community. I will take Cordarrelle. He was a touchdown machine in the right spot, but I'm with you. That offense is going to be down. It might be a turnover machine. They will be poised for a nice quarterback selection next year, I believe.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think a lot of these teams, talking about the Steelers, Commanders, Falcons, all going to be positioning themselves for new quarterbacks next year as well. So we'll be doing this again, Kevin. So, you know, come back same time next year. Quarterback carousel spins and spins. Let's head on to, man, we got a lot of players to talk about here, Kevin. So we got some familiar faces, different places. Let's start with the biggest team. As far as fantasy-centric players, we had the Miami Dolphins, who picked up Tyreek Hill, massive trade, big extension. They also picked up Cedric Wilson from the Cowboys and a couple running backs with some kind of tread on the tires, Raheem Mostert and Chase Edmonds. You know, We talk about a lot, Kevin. Is this a signal for the end of the Chiefs dynasty without Tyreek Hill going to Miami, starting a new chapter?
I mean, I posed the possibility that the Chiefs could miss the playoffs next season if the cards fell a certain way. And this is certainly, you know, a big ace in that hole, a big ace in that hand. I do think it is troublesome for the Chiefs. I think we'll see what they go out and do. They're obviously still favored to win the division. I'm not saying that they're going to be horrible, but that it is going to be a competitive division. And, you know, an injury to Patrick, an injury to Kelsey, and all of a sudden that team is looking a little bit shaky. Kevin,
you're underselling this. We don't need injuries, Kevin. We don't need injuries to Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelsey. Their best receiver is Juju Smith-Schuster, Kevin.
Yeah, it doesn't look good.
Okay. Now that we got that out of the way, Miami Dolphins, like I said, big players in the fantasy free agency spin cycle. Tyreek Hill, is he still a top 10 receiver? What happens with Jaylen Waddle? You know, a lot of nice pieces there with Albert Wilson and Cedric Wilson as well.
Yeah, I don't think that he can be set up as a top 10 wide receiver in rankings. Can he finish there at the end of the season? Definitely. But a lot of new weapons. Mike McDaniel comes in. He brings with him Raheem Mostert. We'll see what happens in terms of run pass split. I do really, really like Tua as a late round QB, especially if you're willing to do a little double dip, get Tua, get another late round QB in the 14th or 15th round. I think you'll know pretty quickly after weeks one and two whether you're holding on to him or letting him go. I think there's a very real possibility that he lands in QB1 territory. It's always so tight. There's always so much movement in that QB1. I'm talking about the top 12 quarterbacks, not the number one quarterback, but I think it's real that I'm not all in on him, but I think he's worth a look if you're going late QB.
Yeah, and we just talked about a perfect guy to pair with him, Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan is not going to kill you if he has to start a couple games for you in the right spot. Kirk Cousins is in this, you know, Jameis Winston, kind of safer veteran quarterbacks that you could draft alongside Tua to give yourself, you know, a floor and a ceiling that is pretty nice. So, I am so confused. I'm not a smart guy by any stretch of the imagination, Kevin, but when you have Myles Gaskin, who I think is pretty talented, but then you bring in Chase Edmonds and then Raheem Mostert, it seems a little redundant on this speedy pass-catching running backs, does it not?
Absolutely. And if you look up and down their depth chart, I mean, Salvin Ahmed, I mean, you can keep going beyond those guys, and they're just loaded with more and more of the same running backs. But Mike McDaniel showed that he's a really smart guy, and I think he's going to figure it out. I think he has something in mind, and it might fool me, but I think this offense should be pretty good, even with. I mean, I don't want any of the running backs because I don't know if it is going to be Chase Edmonds or Raheem Mostert or Myles Gaskin. So I'm going to be fully out. But I think the offense will be good, and they'll win more games than they did last year. And they won 9 last year.
Yeah, I think it's going to be more of a fun team to watch than for fantasy, because you mentioned the running back pecking order is going to be tough to predict. I mentioned Tyreek Hill, Cedric Wilson, Jaylen Waddle, Albert Wilson, but you also got to think about Mike Gesicki, who I think caught around 80 balls last year. What is the target tree going to look like? Jaylen Waddle, is he going to get fed like he did last year? Probably not with Tyreek Hill around. So can he be more efficient? can Tyreek Hill be more efficient? And that's going to be determined, you know, it's going to be kind of a wait and see. You're going to have to draft Tyreek Hill in the second round. Probably have to draft Waddle in top four rounds. But I think it's a little riskier proposition to try to say, hey, Waddle, really nice rookie season. He's going to take that sophomore leap that we've seen a lot of these receivers do. Just with all the, you know, all the guys around him, he's going to have to be super efficient.
Yeah, really quick. I'm glad you brought up Mike Gesicki. I'm not drafting Mike Gesicki almost under any circumstance. And the reason why is I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I believe he lined up off of the line, either out wide or in the slot, more than any other tight end in the NFL. And I think the Miami Dolphins are going to want blocking tight ends, guys to the lineup on the line. He might get phased out a little bit with this boost in the receiving core. I would be very cautious about putting a big bet on Mike Gesicki this year.
All right, let's head to the second biggest name to be moved, Davante Adams. This was an absolute shocker, Kevin. You know, being a Vikings fan, you do pay attention pretty closely to the NFC North teams. When Aaron Rodgers said, I'm back, I'm coming back, I was like, shit. You know, three more years of Rodgers and Adams just absolutely shredding the Vikings. I think Adams had averaged like two touchdowns and 150 yards against the Vikings over the past 2 years. But he's out. He goes to his college teammate, link up with his college teammate, Derek Carr, the Raiders. This is very interesting because Derek Carr had a hell of a year last year. Hunter Renfro stepped up big. Darren Waller. There's a lot of nice pieces in this Raiders offense now.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can't really understand how Davante Adams went from, you know, easily the wide receiver one or two. I guess Cooper Kupp kind of overtook him there, but, you know, definitely conversation at the very top to now in most rankings. I'm seeing him like 5 to 8. I think he's going to get the ball. He's still an elite receiver, elite route runner, has the classic Fresno State connection with Carr there. I'm not shying away from taking Davante Adams earlier than he's being ranked as of now.
I like that, and I'm all in on Hunter Renfro, too. When you talk about Davante Adams, you talk about a guy who's going to be all eyes in the secondary are going to be on whatever number he chooses to wear out there, probably 17. that's going to leave 18 open, and he found his way open a lot last year. Derek Carr definitely trusts him. I love him as, you know, potential 7th, 8th round pick that can pay off huge for you. I think he could even, you know, give you back end wide receiver 2 numbers like he did last year.
Last thing here, Waller up or down with this move?
I'm going to keep him right where he is. So probably 3rd, 4th tight end, you know, depending on how you feel about Kyle Pitts. I think this offense is going to just throw the ball a lot because they have the weaponry now. Josh Jacobs is good, not great. Kenyon Drake, they re-signed. So I think the backfield is still okay. But when you have Renfro, Adams, Waller, I think they're going to be passing the ball 35 to 40 times a game. And I think enough you know, targets will be there for Waller.
Yeah.
I don't know shit, Kevin.
Yeah, you don't. Because we're
pre-draft.
I'm down on Waller personally. It's just for some reason doesn't score touchdowns. And I think Davante Adams is going to soak up a lot of that middle of the field. Hunter Renfro is going to soak up even more of that middle of the field. And unless he can turn into a touchdown threat, which is Davante Adams' territory, I have a tough time moving him up, and I even have a tough time leaving him where he is. It's probably, you know, one or two spots, maybe even 3-4 spots back for me.
Okay, well, shit. Maybe should have done more research, I guess.
Well, let's move on from the Raiders to former Raider once upon a time. Amari Cooper moves from the Cowboys to the Browns. We talked about it a little bit with Deshaun Watson, but what do you think about Amari Cooper over in Cleveland?
Amari Cooper has been great for the last few years. I think he's, you know, they drafted CeeDee Lamb 2 years ago, and Amari Cooper has kind of kept him at bay. Amari Cooper has been the better receiver for the Cowboys the last 2 years. I think, like I said earlier, Stefanski is a great coach. I'm not going to go that far. Good coach. Good coach. I think he's going to get the most out of Amari Cooper. And Deshaun Watson is, you know, by far the best quarterback he's played with. So Deshaun Watson has, we've seen him be able to hit guys like Amari Cooper, who's a great route runner, can still get deep. It does worry me a little bit that there's not really any tertiary targets. All eyes going to be on Amari Cooper. I like him. I think he's a top 20 receiver, but I don't know, the ceiling might not be there like it is for, you know, a Tyreek Hill. Potentially has a huge ceiling. Amari Cooper has a nice floor though.
Yeah, I think Amari Cooper probably definitely a wide receiver too. I'm probably not picking him though. He is a soft tissue guy, always misses a few games with a hamstring or a quad or whatever he comes up with in a given week. And even in games that he does start, he's been known to post some low scores. You know, maybe you think going to a barren wide receiving core in Cleveland, maybe that saves him of some zeros late in the season come playoff time, fantasy playoff time. But I'm going to be cautious and probably not be in on the Cooper market.
Kevin, you got to whip that out at the draft. Just yell, oh, soft tissue guy.
Soft tissue guy. Oh, no. Whoops. What a mistake.
Whoops, soft tissues. All right, well, Jaguars were a big spender. Paid Christian Kirk a lot of money. They also brought in Zay Jones, Evan Ingram to kind of refresh the wide receiver core, the pass catchers out there. Anything interesting? Are you going to pick a Jaguar this year?
No, and I don't really want to talk about these guys at all, to be honest. I did think it was funny. Jacksonville jumps into the wide receiver market, overpays a couple guys, and then all of a sudden the wide receiver market freezes because nobody knows what the hell to do when Christian Kirk gets like $15 million a year. And all the other wide receiver deals seemed a lot more realistic. And it looks like the Jaguars were just stupid.
Well, Jags are going to jag, Kevin. I actually really like Evan Ingram. We saw Dan Arnold have a few nice games this season, was kind of a viable tight end there for 6-7 week stretch, really weak position group. Can Evan Ingram find a groove with Doug Peterson, who, you know, was kind of a, I don't know how much of a mastermind he was. I think Frank Reich had a lot of to do with how that Eagles kind of system operated, but he was the head coach, the offensive head coach, when Zach Ertz blew up, when they were supporting Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert. I like Evan Ingram as a late round sleeper tight end target. If you wait on tight end or you take, let's say, like a George Kittle really early, Evan Ingram can maybe be that insurance for you at the end. I do think every league, I'm going to say this right now, write this down, Kevin. Every league, every fantasy league, someone will pick up Evan Ingram during this season. In every single league's one team will pick up Evan Ingram. He will be a viable tight end at least for a couple weeks this season.
Yeah, and that's a good point. That's what you're looking for in the late rounds, is low risk, high upside. I can't argue with that argument.
We mentioned it earlier, Kevin. The Chiefs brought in Juju Smith-Schuster, the TikTok tandem, him and Jackson Mahomes out there. Juju Smith-Schuster steps in. He is the you know, wide receiver one. Now, Travis Kelce is the wide receiver one in KC. But Juju Smith-Schuster potentially walking into a target goldmine.
Potentially. I've struggled to like Juju Smith-Schuster. I thought early in his career, a lot of his success was a lot of attention being drawn away from him by Antonio Brown getting bracketed every single play. I don't know if he is going to be sustainable as a wide receiver one. The good part is he's playing with the best quarterback in football. And, you know, Mahomes will find a way to get people the ball, even if they're not a special receiver. So is Juju going to be drafted higher than I'm willing to take him? Absolutely. Will he still finish a wide receiver too? Very possible.
You know, Kevin, as this podcast is going on, I'm seeing why you end up with just a shit roster, because you're like, oh, well, he's going to go too high for me. And then you're just left scrambling every round. So better buck up and take some of these guys at their worth.
There's plenty of guys that I am all over. And the next one is one, unless you have something else to say about Juju, which I would scold you if you do. Yeah. Thank you. Exactly, because you're not willing to take him up there either. The Rams go out and get Allen Robinson. I love this. I know Cooper Kupp is going to be a top five wide receiver, but Allen Robinson, I think, could also easily find himself into the top 12 on the wide receivers. I will be taking Allen Robinson basically every spot that I can get him, because I'm willing to bet that he's going to be drafted closer to wide receiver 20 than wide receiver 12.
Yeah, and we're speaking from a guy who got absolutely burnt by Allen Robinson in a few spots last year, Kevin.
Absolutely. And I am willing to do it again.
I really like this too. We saw that Sean McVay can easily support two pass catchers, can probably support three. But Robert Woods was a fixture in the top 20 receivers. Odell Beckham Jr. towards the end of the season was a monster. And Allen Robinson is the best player of those three, I believe. Because we're talking about Odell Beckham now past his prime, potentially. I don't know.
He's off of another ACL.
Yeah.
Yada, yada.
Robert Woods obviously banged up, but and all things considered, Allen Robinson is more talented than Robert Woods, healthy, both healthy. Allen Robinson, you mean, Kevin, just name the quarterbacks the guy's played with. Matthew Stafford is
far and away the best.
Yeah, he's basically Bart Starr, just the best player, you know. Actually, fuck Bart Starr, fuck the Packers.
For Antarctica.
Yeah, there you go. Dante Culpepper. But yeah, I think Allen Robinson's going to thrive. I'm with you. Easy slam dunk third round pick for me. Like you said, he's probably going to be – people are going to draft him closer to wide receiver 24 than 12. And I'll be the one to step in there as well.
Talked about Robert Woods leaving the Rams. He does land on the Titans. Both he and Austin Hooper were big additions by the Titans. What does this mean for those guys as well as A.J. Brown?
Yeah, this is really interesting to me. Because Robert Woods gets to be a number two again. Can he thrive the same way in a Titans offense who is a little more reserved than the Rams, for sure? Austin Hooper, I think, steps into a really nice spot. We've seen tight ends be successful there with Firkser, Jonnu Smith, you know. You want to go back to Mariota days with Delanie Walker. I think he's fell into a nice spot. He was with the Browns. I think they were rotating like four tight ends at one point last year. And he was kind of, you know, he was the 1A. And so now he gets to be the one by himself. I'm interested to see how that plays out. I think Robert Woods, wide receiver 3 for me. But I would love to hear your opinion on it.
Yeah, I think the thing that has me maybe a little more optimistic for Robert Woods is the Titans tried the Julio plus AJ Brown experiment, which didn't seem to work out. It might have been more Julio's health than anything, but I think they were just a little too similar of wide receivers. I think Robert Woods brings some diversity into the route tree a little bit. We'll see if Tannehill can get him the ball. I like Robert Woods at the edge of the wide receiver twos, high end wide receiver three. So I'm not much better than where I think you're putting him. But I he's going to be a viable fantasy player. And I don't have much doubt about that. He did it in Buffalo. He did it in Los Angeles. And I think he can do it in Tennessee as well.
Yeah, I think we're in the same spot. We agree. I probably have him at 35. You might have him at, 20, 29-ish. So we're not very far off. Finally, the Jets made some tight end additions. CJ Uzuma from the Bengals, Tyler Conklin. Two guys that I don't think we need to talk a lot about, but I just wanted to ask you, pick one. Who's going to be better?
Don't make me. I'm going to say Uzoma, just because we saw a little bit more of a big playability from him than we did Conklin. I think Conklin was, really solid middle of the field. He'll get you 12 yards. But Uzoma had some bigger plays. So I'd lean him. The big thing that I think to come of this is going to be Elijah Moore was in a sticky situation where it looked like the Jets could add another, pretty good wide receiver. They could have went and got Allen Robinson. They could have went and got some of these bigger name guys, but they didn't. They spent it on tight ends, and that, I think it bodes well for Elijah Moore.
Yeah, I was really hoping you didn't say his name because I am extremely high on Elijah Moore. Very excited to see what he does. Elijah Moore was a breakout player later in the year, rookie. Let's flip it over, Kevin. We're a couple weeks away from the NFL draft, one of my favorite times of the year. I know it's one of your favorite times of the year. We are not draft experts. We are not fantasy experts.
However, you're not a draft expert. However, speak for yourself.
However, we do pride ourselves on knowing quite a bit about the game. And I know you love to, during draft time, during these lead up weeks to the draft, really dive in, see what kind of new crop is going to come in and potentially, and I think I've said this a lot of times on this podcast, this is where you can score big. I scored big with Alvin Kamara a few years ago because I did the research. I knew that if he gets drafted to a certain team, he is going to be a hit. So some guy that we're going to talk about today, Kevin, is going to be a high-end fantasy player next year. Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, it's going to happen. One of these guys is going to be a big hit. I know, I'm going to mask my excitement on a few guys a little bit just because I still want
it. You have to keep the competitive edge a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. But let's start with our first draft dilemma. Who's your favorite overall prospect?
Yeah. So you talked about I get fired up for the draft. I do. A lot of people, you ask them their favorite sports event of the year, you'll get some World Series, you'll get some Super Bowl. Number one for me is NBA draft. Number two, NFL draft. So I've been following this with a close eye, but the guy that I cannot believe has been so neglected out of all these rookies is Jahan Dotson. So he's my favorite overall prospect, not only because I think he's going to make a big impact and he's going to be a great player, but because he's being neglected and you're going to be able to get him for free, I think, in most drafts. Coming into the season, he was a guy that in a lot of mock drafts, you saw in the top 10, top five even, but throughout the season, it kind of slipped back, didn't have the best combine, but this guy is a gamer. You saw when he had Sean Clifford, he was putting up big numbers. After that injury happened at the quarterback position for Penn State, you know, he slipped off a little bit, which I think is, you can attribute most of his fall to, but I think in any reasonable spot, Jahan Dotson is going to be an absolute animal.
Yeah, he's electric, Kevin. I really want the Vikings. I want him on the board for the Vikings in the second round. I think with Kevin O'Connell coming in, they're going to be looking to add wide receiver talent. I don't think he's going to be, you know, he's not going to fall into the same trap as Zimmer saying like, okay, we're fine with, you know, KJ Osborne is a nice player. You know, Kevin O'Connell is going to say, we want a stud as the third receiver. We want three guys that can go nuts. Jahan Dotson can do that. You mentioned at the top, how often does a guy who was incredible his junior year, consensus top 15 pick, has a good senior season and goes down draft boards? It just doesn't make much sense to me either. I think whoever drafts him in the second round or late first is getting an absolute steal.
100%.
My guy, kind of similar, Kevin. I think he's getting kind of disrespected. My guy's Wandale Robinson, Kentucky. Seeing a lot of third round, seeing a lot of, you know, he's going to fall in the draft. You know, all the guy did last year is catch 100 balls. He rushed for, you know, 150 yards. He's got the juice, Kevin. Wandale's got the juice. If you are an Iowa Hawkeye fan, me and Kevin, both Midwest guys, I'm a Hawkeye fan, torched the Hawkeyes in the Citrus Bowl, 170-something yards. He was incredible. You know, the NFL offenses are getting more and more inventive with guys like Wandale Robinson. You know, the buzz guy, when you talk about someone like Wandale Robinson, like, oh, could he be like Debo Samuel? Well, no one's like Debo Samuel. Debo Samuel is special. But is there a team out there that can use him and get him, I don't know, Kevin, 50, 60 touches next year, whether that be runs, catches, and make him a viable rookie play? I think so. I really like Wandale to come in, and, you know, he's produced wherever he's been, and I think he'll continue to do that.
Yeah, decent stat line in at Nebraska the first 2 years, but really big breakout year for Kentucky. 1,300 yards, 7 touchdowns. He's a little small for my liking, but like you said, in the right spot with an inventive coach, he's a playmaker. So after seeing where he lands, he's somebody that I could also, you know, be very intrigued by. But I am a little worried that he will be matchup dependent. Can't afford to have him go to the Jaguars or some stupid bullshit.
That's true. You know, one of the biggest things, Kevin, is where these running backs are going to go, because a lot of teams are not going with the bell cows. And Breece Hall is the main guy we're talking about. The Iowa State Cyclone has, you know, I've seen some NFL comps to Matt Forte. I've seen some NFL comps to his college teammate, Dave Montgomery. You know, Breece Hall in the right spot could step in and probably be a RB1 for you next year.
Yeah, big time. And I like the comp to David Montgomery, but I also hate it, because David Montgomery, one big downside to him is he didn't score very well in the combine or any of the measurable metrics. But Breece Hall blew those measurable metrics out of the water. I think he's going to be the best running back in this class, and he's going to be drafted that way. The only guy that maybe could be up there is Kenneth Walker, but I mean, what did you want more out of Breece Hall in a senior season? Because he repeated his junior season, which was, you know, in my opinion, Heisman worthy, and then also caught 13 more balls. Just keeps getting better. And here's a bold take that you're going to hate. You're going to hate this. Oh. If the Jets draft Breece Hall, he will be a bell cow, and he will totally set Michael Carter on the bench.
Kevin, you know I love Michael Carter.
I know you do. But if he lands on the Jets, and we've seen it before, we've seen teams that, you know, pick a running back, they do pretty well in the rookie season, but when faced with, you know, another good spot in the second round, they see a tantalizing do-it-all back like Breece. It's happened before, and I think history could repeat itself here. I want him to land on the Jets, and I want everybody to overdraft Michael Carter.
Ouch.
I knew you were going to hate it.
Second, yeah. Is there any other spot you'd like him, Kevin, other than the Jets?
As long as he doesn't land with a bona fide RB1, I think he's going to be the lead back wherever he goes. So unless he lands in Tennessee for some reason, you're Indianapolis. I mean, I'll be honest, even if he landed on the Vikings, I'm going to pick him.
Yeah. When I asked that question, I started just mentally jogging in my brain, which team has a clear cut opening for an RB1? And is there many?
No,
I don't think so. So these guys that we're about to talk about are not going to probably walk into many great situations where they can just automatically be the number one running back. The other guys, I think we can just probably all talk about them at once. We got Kenneth Walker, James Cook, younger brother to Dalvin. We had Isaiah Spiller, who had a really nice season for Texas A&M in the SEC. And then we're going to save that last guy because I have a couple nice stats about him, Kevin. But Kenneth Walker, James Cook, Isaiah Spiller, where are you at with those guys?
Yeah, I'm going to pass on James Cook, but with Isaiah Spiller, he was the guy that was, 1-2 with Breece Hall early on in the draft process, but has kind of slipped back a little bit. I think he wasn't that more impressive than some of the backups on the A&M team, and he's a guy that, maybe he is special. Maybe he was just in a loaded backfield, but not a guy that I'm going to be looking at. Kenneth Walker, however, he has to land in the perfect spot, but if he does, I want him. Wasn't asked to do a lot of pass catching at Michigan State. People argue that, that was just what he was asked to do, and he's actually a pretty good pass catcher, but, history says that if you don't catch a lot of passes in college, even if you're supposed to be a good pass catcher, you still don't catch them in the NFL, whether that be for pass blocking reasons or whatever. But if he, for some reason, or in one of those select spots that needs a running back, I'll pick Kenneth Walker. But really, for me, it's Breece or nothing.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Falcons are an interesting spot for one of these running backs. Obviously, Cordarrelle Patterson back, which I found out about earlier in this podcast. Do I think that Arthur Smith wants to walk into the season with Cordarrelle Patterson as his number one running back? No, I don't. So one of these guys is an interesting fit there. My last guy that I want to talk about is Kyren Williams. Are you familiar with the name at all, Kevin?
Yes, running back out of Notre Dame, put on some pretty good highlights with his own pass catching. So I'm curious to see what you have to say about this man.
Great pass catcher, even better pass blocker. He was very good in pass pro. I think he's going to find his way onto an NFL football field next year and get significant third down run wherever he goes. Someone's going to draft him as a third down back. This is very similar to an Alvin Kamara situation for me, Kevin. A very talented college running back, Kamara was. He was not a top pick. He was drafted very late. He was not a top five running back in that class. However, he had skills. What were those skills? Pass catching. He was elusive in space, and he could stay in there on third downs and pass pro. Kyren Williams is elusive in space, can catch the ball, can be and can stand up and pass pro. I mean, I have fallen into this trap year after year, but I would love him to fall on the Tennessee Titans and just take over third downs for Derrick Henry. Be that guy. Derrick Henry injured all last year. I don't think the Tennessee Titans want him to be out there on every third down. So Kyren Williams, nice fit there. Great in pass pro, pass catcher. He's a guy that I'm going to be, you know, watching those late rounds of the draft, seeing where he goes, because it's going to be big fantasy, you know, potential there.
Yeah, and he's a guy that ran a 4.65 40 at the combine, so you can take that and say, you know, maybe he's not an elite athletic guy, or you can take that as an opportunity to know he proved that in space he can get it done. And you let the stat NFL nerds fall into that trap, let them slip back in the draft, and you scoop them up. So take it as you will. I'm not as high on him as you are, but you put together a pretty strong argument, and he has a path to the field, a very strong path to the field.
Yeah, and I mean, you talk about what we talked about this whole time, talking about the running backs. These guys are going to have a tough time finding the field. So if you have a bona fide skill, you can maybe get on the field a little quicker. Here's where we're going to find some big-time value, Kevin. Last few years, fantasy receivers, rookies, have stepped in and delivered big time. Let's start with the big guy, 6'5", Drake London. He's only 20 years old, Kevin. He will be 20 years old drafting. I mean, you have a potential 4 years until he hits his prime. This guy, he's going to be a monster, I think.
Yeah, I really don't want to like Drake London. I've been pretty stubborn about not liking him, to be honest, but Matt Harmon comes out with the reception perception statistics every single year, and his number one ranked wide receiver was Drake London. And to that, I was scrolling on my phone on Twitter, put my head down and said, you know, you have to stop being such a stubborn ass. This guy might actually be pretty good. My concerns with him, why I didn't like him for a long time, didn't do a whole lot the first couple years at SC. Big breakout year this last season, but small sample size, only 8 games. I typically like to see a longer stretch of a breakout, but you talked about the physical tools. He's a great athlete, basketball player, 6'5", big frame. The argument generally is he can't separate. That's kind of what I was on, but reception perception kind of proved me foolish on that. He's probably going to be the first wide receiver taken, and I think I'm okay getting burnt by Drake London. He's probably going to burn me. He's probably going to be very, very good.
Yeah.
But I'm still a stubborn ass.
Yeah, you know, that's what makes this fun, Kevin, to have opinions, right? If we were just like, yeah, Drake London will be good. Isaiah Spiller will also be pretty good.
James All Cook. These guys have a be pretty good chance at being good football players. They were good football players. They might continue to be good football players.
If Drake London's not the first wide receiver taken, it will be Garrett Wilson, who there wasn't. We're getting into the comp season. Draft analysts have run out of things to say, so now they're just making comps up. And I've seen the Garrett Wilson, Stephon Diggs comp almost 50 times now. However,
Garrett Wilson... I just want to point out that I said that like 3 months ago, before all this other shit came out. I saw Stephon Diggs and Garrett Wilson. And I think Garrett Wilson, very safe. If he, no matter where he gets drafted, you know, Drake London might be the top wide receiver in this class, but there's no way Garrett Wilson is outside the top 3.
And damn it, Kevin, that's why people come to this podcast, because of you. You knew that Stefon Diggs would be the comp before all.
Yeah, you know, it's probably an outrageous comp. He's probably not going to be, you know, a top tier wide receiver, but maybe he is. That he's an elite route runner, which is right up Stefon Diggs's taglines.
Yeah, he checks all the boxes that I look for rookie receivers. He was played at a big school. He had elite numbers, and he had another receiver on his team who will get drafted in the first round. And he was clearly better than Chris Olave every year at Ohio State. You know, he was the alpha. When you're drafting a wide receiver in the first round, I want an alpha. You know, there's very few successful receivers who weren't the alpha on their team. Like, you know, Justin Jefferson, you could probably say wasn't the alpha.
But he played with Jamar Chase. So it's
true. Chris Olave is not Jamar Chase, and he's probably not Justin Jefferson, but Garrett Wilson outplayed him at a top tier school. His production went up every year. I really like Garrett Wilson. Chris Olave, Kevin, is projected in the first round a lot. Small guy, fast guy. Is he a Will Fuller or is he a Marquez Valdes-Scantling?
He might be a Marquez Valdes-Scantling. So at the start of the season, we talked about Jahan Dotson was, you know, a consensus top 15 pick. Chris Olave was the other wide receiver that was getting thrown into that top 15. We saw Garrett Wilson kind of overtake him because he didn't seem to be the alpha on that team. Or Chris Olave didn't appear to be the alpha on that team. I'm concerned that he lost so much ground in 1 year. This might be a Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson situation. They might both be just very special receivers. But if given the chance to pick between the two, I'm going Garrett Wilson all day. You talked about how we're in the Midwest. We watch a lot of Big Ten football. When Ohio State needed a big third down pickup, quarterback is looking to Garrett Wilson's way. And it wasn't necessarily going to go to Chris Olave. Chris Olave might be good, but I like Garrett Wilson 1,000 times over him.
Yeah. Like I said, I think he is a speedy receiver. I think he'll be able to get by guys in the NFL. Can he be the first down, second down guy instead of the chuck it deep to Chris Olave, third down guy? Kind of like Marquez Valdes-Scantling, right? You know, you go to Davante Adams, first down, second down. Oh, shit, that didn't work. Let's chuck it deep to MVS. Can he be more than that? Him being drafted in the first round, I think probably says a lot about teams think yes, other evaluators think yes. I tend to think he's more of a complete receiver than MVS is, but there is that worry about me that is he just that guy?
He's a guy that you definitely have to look at landing spot. If he lands on the Commanders and you're trusting that Carson Wentz is going to hit him deep, I'm not going to have any stock in Chris Olave. But if he lands on the Packers, for example, you know, there's a good chance Aaron Rodgers can chuck it up there and Chris Olave's going to run under it. So definitely keep an eye on where he lands.
Absolutely. Got a couple injured Alabama receivers, John Mechie, Jameson Williams. I think Jameson Williams would have been up there with Garrett Wilson, Drake London, had he not got injured towards the end of the season. Had a really special year at Alabama. However, what scared me off of Jameson Williams is, Devonta Smith was the Heisman, and he just did not have a great year in the NFL. Is that an Alabama thing? Well, no, because we saw Waddle be successful in Miami. So I don't know what to think about these Alabama guys, Kevin. You're going to have to set me straight.
Yeah. Jameson Williams is a guy that in a lot of those evaluator circles was pretty high up there pre-injury, and there's a lot of disappointment that he got hurt but I've never really been that high on him. Big reason for me is he transferred from Ohio State to Alabama. Yes, we see that Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave were at Ohio State, but if you have to transfer out, I think generally that can be a red flag. We've seen it work for some guys, but it's enough for me to cool on him.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see what happens. Is Jameson Williams, is he healthy by training camp? John Mechie, where does he fit? He reminds me a lot of Henry Ruggs, where it's like, you know, maybe not a special player, but super fast and from Alabama. But here's a guy that I think we both agree on, and that's Treylon Burks. There's a huge potential for an absolute superstar with Treylon Burks.
Yeah. I'm nervously trying to contain my excitement for Treylon Burks right now. I think that for the longest time I had him as my wide receiver one. I thought he burnt Alabama. He, you know, played with KJ Williams, not the best, most accurate quarterback, but he had done basically everything that was asked of him and more, went above and beyond. He's a big guy, plays out of the slot a lot of the time. I didn't want to say Cooper Kupp because, you know, I think they're two very different players. But when you look at bigger guys playing out of the slot, I think Treylon Burks could, you know, flip the game on its head and do some very special things in a very unique way. I've since pushed up Drake London and Garrett Wilson, you know, maybe more than I should have, but I'm hoping to sneak out with basically every draft with Treylon Burks, regardless of where he goes. Even if he goes to Jacksonville, I'm hoping to get Treylon Burks because I think he's a special player, did a lot the senior season without much help.
Yeah, I saw ESPN also does, they rank wide receivers. I think it's like a Spark score or something. And basically is an all-encompassing future indicator of NFL success. And they had Treylon Burks number one. They said everything adds up to him being the best wide receiver in this class. I don't really understand why he's not getting more buzz. Had a great year last year in the SEC with a quarterback that was subpar compared to the rest of the quarterbacks that these other wide receivers have. I mean, we're talking about potential number one, two overall picks with C.J. Stroud at Ohio State and Bryce Young at Alabama. And Treylon Burks went out there and did it with a guy who's not going to get drafted number one overall. And he was amazing. I think we'll be probably battling for Treylon Burks at every fantasy draft we do together. Because he's going to find the field early and he's going to be successful.
I think you've talked about before things you look for and, you know, a top rookie, and that's gets better every year, plays at a large school or at least in a good conference. He checks both those boxes. And the other thing is he NFL ready in terms of body? And at 6'3", 225, he's bigger than a lot of guys that playing in the NFL right now already. So if you think about guys that can make an instant impact, Treylon Burks is way up towards the top of that list.
Yeah, Kevin, and you know, I thought I'd throw in the best tight end in this class. That's Trey McBride out of Colorado State. He just by almost any evaluation is going to be a solid NFL tight end. Is he going to be super special? No, he doesn't have that top end quickness. Doesn't have the top end speed. However, sticky hands. He's a good route runner, and he's a good blocker, which is going to get him on the field early. Taking rookie tight ends has never really worked except for Kyle Pitts.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. Ignore Kyle Pitts. He's a generational tight end. Rookie tight ends, you know, your best case is what, Eric Ebron? It's not a very spectacular list. But Dynasty.
Yes. Yeah. Trey McBride is probably the Dynasty tight end, depending on, he's going to be probably the highest drafted guy. You know, each draft does usually have at least one pretty interesting tight end. However, they're never good in their rookie season. So, stay away from Trey McBride outside of Dynasty. Just thought we should mention him as the kind of consensus best tight end in the class. Kevin, I think we should move on to write that down.
All right. Really quick before we do that, I just want to say, if you're looking for a sneaky sleeper guy, David Bell. You heard it here. David Bell.
Okay. Little whispers as we move into betting, write that down. You know, we usually in write that down, we're talking about, you know, some bets we like. We're talking about players fantasy wise that we like. Well, we don't really have any of those things this year, at this time of year, but we have some betting team totals. We also have some draft stuff. We also have some rookie of the year bets. So, Kevin, why don't you start us off with one of your write that downs?
Yeah. So first off, I have Malik Willis. We didn't talk a lot about prospect quarterbacks here, but I think first quarterback taken is either going to be Kenny Pickett if Carolina messes up and takes him. Otherwise, if any smarter team is out there and takes a quarterback first, Malik Willis will be the first quarterback taken. I think that puts him as a shoe-in for rookie of the year, especially if he lands on the Panthers or the Seahawks, basically in a spot where he's going to be asked to play right away. He's a little, for those of you that aren't familiar, he's a little more raw of a prospect, but kind of that Kiami type pass and throw or pass and run quarterback, can do a lot of special things on the ground. If he lands in a spot where he's asked to play right away, and that's basically just Panthers or Seahawks, rookie of the year, write that down all day.
I saw a quote after his pro day that said he moves like Lamar Jackson and he's the size of a linebacker, which is absolutely terrifying. You know, if he can bring that athleticism with the cannon that he has, with the with his body type, I mean, there's potential. Obviously, he's raw, but we could be sitting here in 3 years talking about him being the best player in the NFL potentially. It's not out of the realm of possibility. So
yeah, absolutely. But I mean, if you're Carolina at six and Kenny Pickett's there, yeah, let's take that guy over a potentially generational prospect. What's your write that down?
My first one, Kevin, is the Bills over 11.5. The Bills stocked up on defense. They gave Stephon Diggs a nice extension. Brian Daboll leaves, which I actually think is good for this team. Brian Daboll, actually, if you look into, I think yards per play, the Bills teams were not actually that great. Their running game was very weak, last couple years for the Bills. And I think that with the talent that they have, they will win at least 12 games in a 17-game season. I see that being close, but I do like the over there.
I think that's an interesting take. That's a lot of wins. And, you know, there's a couple teams that are getting better in that division. Not the Jets, but Dolphins, Patriots. We could see boosts there. So it might be tough to get to 11.5, but if you say write that down, then it's going to happen. That's why it's called write that down.
All right, Kevin.
Another thing that you can write that down is that the Chiefs don't win the division. No, I'm not saying they're not going to make the playoffs. They might not make the playoffs, but they won't win the division. That division overnight got a lot tougher by the Broncos probably adding 3 or 4 wins in the matter of 2 days with the moves that they made. You play them twice, you play the Chargers twice, who are, you know, Super Bowl contenders now. You play the Raiders twice, which I think that the Raiders stole the game from the Chiefs last year. That could happen again. So they're staring down the barrel of a very slippery slope where any injury, any a really unfortunate circumstance where that offense looks as dead as it did at the beginning to middle part of the year last year, it's a different story. And I don't think they win the division. I still think they're a good team. It makes sense that they're still Super Bowl favorites, but you can write that down that they're not going to win the division.
Once again, Kevin, I don't think you need all these qualifiers of something bad happening to the Chiefs. I honestly think that the Chargers are better team on paper than the Chiefs going into the season. Who's the better quarterback? Who's the best quarterback in the NFL? Patrick Mahomes. I'm not saying, like, people listen to this podcast sometimes and I think they're like, oh, you guys just shit on the Chiefs. You guys don't think they're any good. That's not what we're saying. I think Patrick Mahomes is, you know, on track to be one of the greatest players in the history of the National Football League. Travis Kelce is a once in a generation. He's like, he's, you know, we were probably a little young for pure Gronk, but I mean, we're seeing a pure domination by Travis Kelce. He's amazing. But this team lost their heart and soul on defense, Honey Badger. They lost, you know,
Tyreek Hill,
is really good, right? and replaced him with Juju Smith-Schuster.
But they signed Ronald Jones.
Oh, okay. That seems to care. And we saw last year that this team is more vulnerable than, you know, we maybe thought they were going into the year. I think after the Super Bowl loss, we were like, this team is going to go come in and just fucking rule now because they got that lost taste and they want to go back and get it. But didn't start the year out great, ended off the year on a tear, but then, fall in the playoffs. The Chargers have two absolutely terrifying pass rushers now. Their defense is stacked. And, they have Justin Herbert, who's in his third year and is an ascending talent with a left tackle who they just drafted last year, who we saw last year is probably becoming one of the better left tackles in the league. They probably
take another tackle this year in the draft to shore up that line.
Kevin, you know how much we love their third and fourth receivers, and they brought Mike Williams back this year. So, you know, they have Jalen Guyton, Josh Palmer, Keenan Allen, Mike Williams. The Chargers are not to be messed around with. Oh, yeah, I didn't mention Austin Eckler, who's pretty darn good himself. I'm all in the Chargers, and that's not talking about the Broncos, who now have Russell effing Wilson, who is on his way to the Hall of Fame. So,
and a very solid defense.
Yeah, and so, yes, would I place a bet on Chiefs not winning the division? Maybe $50. I'm not going to put a bunch of money down on it. But would I put a bunch of money on the Chargers winning the division? Yes, I would, because I would probably get plus money, and I think it's a likely scenario. Once again, guys, I want to put a qualifier on the end of this, end of my rant. I think the Chiefs are still good. They're better than my team, the Vikings. They're light years ahead of Kevin's team, the Panthers.
They might be better than the Panthers.
They're really good. But they're also in the best division in football. And I think the Chiefs the Chargers are going to be one of the best teams in football. So it's going to be really fun to watch. I think we're probably going to get a lot of primetime games from the AFC West, and it's going to be a blast.
It's going to be fun.
I'm going to stick with the AFC East Kevin. And I'm going to go with the Patriots over 8.5. So, Logan, that's a lot of wins there talking about the AFC East. Yes, I know. But Patriots, 8.5. Have they ever been that bad with Belichick? I mean, Mac Jones in his second year. I like what the Patriots are doing. They kept a lot of that team from last year intact, except J.C. Jackson, minus J.C. Jackson. But I like the Patriots to be better than below 500.
Yeah, I think that's a good take. I think Mac Jones definitely takes a leap this year. Interesting Mac Jones stat. The single game yards, air yards leader last year was Mac Jones, which if you know anything about the Patriots and what their offense looked like last year at times, it didn't look like they were airing it out. But I think that just goes to show that in stretches, they can ask him to push it a little bit and he will. And I think that they'll knock a little bit more this year. 8.5. I think that's safe. I like that.
All right, Kevin, you got a couple over-unders as well.
Yeah, I have the Titans over 9.5 wins. They were still the number one seed last year. I don't understand why, or in the AFC, I don't understand why people are walking back that quickly on a Titans team that I believe in good coaching winning football games, and I think Mike Vrabel is one of the best coaches in the NFL. The only way the Titans land fewer than 9.5 wins is if Ryan Tannehill just totally falls off a cliff or there's a major injury. They're going to have Derrick Henry back. They're going to rely on the defense in the run game. They're going to be in close, winnable games. And I think 9.5 just seems like a mistake.
Yeah, Kevin. I mean, we're talking about 2 years in a row now that the Titans have been pretty comfortably over that number. And they didn't lose any major pieces. None of the major pieces are getting that much older where this team is going to fall off a cliff. I like that pick as well. I got a draft take here, Kevin. We talked a little bit about Drake London being the first receiver taken, but I'm going to put some money on Garrett Wilson being that first receiver taken. It's plus money, plus 125 right now. I like him to be the first receiver taken. Like you said, there are some concerns. Drake London coming off injury, didn't play, I think, the last 8 games of the season. Garrett Wilson has had, you know, a nice combine. He's had a nice off season, and I think he will be kind of comfortably in that top 10, potentially Jets. I like the Jets picking Garrett Wilson up. With one of their top 10 picks or their top 10 pick. And I'll take the plus money.
Yeah, I like Garrett Wilson better than Drake London just because I feel like he's safer. I think anybody that takes Drake London is hoping to find, you know, a true difference maker, somebody that's going to be Davante Adams, Cooper Kupp style, just far and away a difference maker. But Garrett Wilson is going to be solid. It seems like the safest wide receiver. Depending on who's taking that first wide receiver, I think it'll come down to their need. Are they shooting for the stars? Or are they just trying to shore up their team a little bit? And you know, really, if there's a wide receiver taken in the top 5, I think Drake London is probably the first wide receiver taken. But if we're looking outside of the top 5, I think Garrett Wilson is probably safe money there.
All right, Kevin, last one. What do you got?
Last one I have here, the Saints under 8 wins. And, you know, I think you could make a lot of arguments with, yeah, Jameis Winston is the reason why, them just kicking the cap can further down the road and never being able to, you know, really add to their team is another big issue. But number one, yeah. Like I just said, I believe in good coaching, and they lost, you know, maybe one of the best coaches, you know, probably one of the worst humans, but one of the better coaches in the NFL in Sean Payton. And I feel sorry for Dennis Allen. That team is probably not going to be very great. They're going to be hurtling towards a full rebuild, full on rebuild pretty soon. And I think this is going to be the first year that they take a step towards there. I think Sean Payton is going to be a massive loss to that team.
Yeah, Kevin, I think it's going to be super, super close to eight. And here's why. I think they'll be able to beat the Falcons twice. Falcons are going to be hot garbage.
You watch your mouth on this next one.
And I think they're going to be able to beat the Panthers twice.
God damn it, no.
They still have a lot of nice players, the Saints. Yes, they're kicking the can down the road, but it's because they're keeping around Marshawn Lattimore. They're keeping around Ryan Ramczyk. They're keeping around DeMario Davis.
They lost Armstead, though. And they're just getting old. Oh, man.
They are getting old.
They're not going to beat the Panthers twice.
Michael Thomas coming back, Kevin. Forgot about Michael Thomas, who just 2 short years ago broke the single-season receptions record, Kevin. Did you forget about him?
Who threw him the ball? Was it Jameis Winston?
No, but Jameis Winston's a future Hall of Famer, so.
Oh, of course.
This
will be an interesting next 5 years if that happens.
I'm going to pump the brakes on the demise of the Saints for this year. They just traded for 2 first-round picks. They're going to add some young talent, young first-round talent. I think it's going to be close. I'm not going to say they're winning 10, but it's going to be right around 8. If you can get the under 8.5, I'd be more with you. But that flat number 8 scares me.
Oh, no. And another reason why that's just a bad take is they finished second in the division. So that means this year they're going to have the Vikings. They're going to have the Cardinals. They're going to have the Eagles. I don't think they can beat the Eagles. I think those are 3 losses on top of the 5 in-division losses that they will have.
4.
I think they'll drop one to the Falcons, and I think they'll drop one to the Panthers. Maybe they drop two to the Panthers and none to the Falcons. We'll see.
Didn't they beat the Bucks twice last year, Kevin, the Saints?
With Sean Payton, yeah.
Yeah. I don't like Dennis Allen either, but all right.
Dennis folks, Allen so... is the fall guy.
Classic Mo and McGee just ripping each other. Kevin's saying I have a bad take because I like the Saints a little bit more than he does.
A little bit more. Ugh. A lot more. Okay.
Okay, Kevin, put your nuts on the table. How many wins are the Saints going to have? 5? 6?
6.
You're a joke. That's a bad take.
6 wins for the Saints.
Oh my God. Okay. Okay.
I'll tell you what, if they beat the Bucks 9-0 again next year, I don't know. I will forfeit every pick in my 2023 fantasy draft.
All right, virtual handshake. Okay. All right, folks. Well, let's look for that 9-0 Saints over Bucks game next year. Kevin, this was fun. Fun to hop back on the mic. We talked about a lot of players. I think over 40 different players. This is what we do, Kevin. If you want to hear fluff, you can go other places. If you want to hear about the most players, you come to Mo and McGee. We're going to give you players.
If you want to hear some Chief slander, you come to Mo and McGee.
You want to hear Kevin making ridiculous New Orleans Saints takes? Mo and McGee's your spot. But that's it. That's all we got. Probably do a little post-draft, maybe a little training camp. But we're going to start hitting it pretty heavy in the fall. So we're going to give our voices a little break here during the summer. And, Mo and McGee, like we've said time and time again, we are hitting 2022 NFL season hard. We will be giving you content that you, maybe didn't even ask for. So,
but you'll find that you can't live without.
Yeah, there you go. Any final words, Kevin?
Fuck the Saints. Still pissed.
And the Chiefs. Yep.
And the Chiefs. Always fuck the Chiefs. That's a good one.
All right. See you, folks.